This is the Newsroom Podcast from the Public Affairs Department of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Newsroom.lds.org is the church's official information resource for news media, opinion leaders, and the public. Today's podcast features a report detailing the church's humanitarian efforts following the 2004 tsunami.
Help for victims of the devastating 2004 Asian tsunami is continuing 3 years after the devastation. That's according to a year-end review by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Humanitarian Services. The church was one of the first organizations on site following the tsunami and immediately began assessing short-term needs with the idea that once the immediate needs were met, long-term assistance would be necessary. William Reynolds, manager of the church's humanitarian center, helped direct relief within days of the catastrophe.
If you think about the tsunami as probably the largest modern day disaster that we've known, and the response was the largest response that we've seen. So you have this coming together of non-governmental organizations, governmental organizations, relief agencies, almost anyone that does any kind of this work tried to make a tsunami response.
Reynolds says long-term humanitarian projects were aimed in three areas: child and health care, reconstruction of homes, schools, mosques, and community centers, and livelihood restoration. The church partnered with several worldwide relief organizations to begin rebuilding.
The model is that we would find projects where we would fund and monitor, and the partner organization would implement and help facilitate the people having input on the project as well, as much as possible.
Reynolds details the projects and who the church partnered with.
The largest project was with the International Organization of Migration out of Geneva, Switzerland, and that was a project where we built 902 individual homes and 3 community centers. The next largest project was with Islamic Relief out of Birmingham, England, and that was a project to build 10 schools and 3 community health clinics. The next project was with ADRA, the humanitarian arm of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, headquartered out of Silver Spring, Maryland, and that was to build 5 schools. And all of these are in the province of Aceh, in Indonesia, on the northern end of Sumatra. And the last large project was with International Relief and Development out of Washington, D.C., and that was to do water and sanitation systems in 24 villages.
Reynolds says helping people pick up their livelihoods again was an important way for victims to help themselves. New boats were constructed for fishermen, and equipment was provided to others who weaved and sewed in their home-based industries.
There was a lady who I think was not in poverty prior to the tsunami. Her home was destroyed. In that culture, being unmarried puts you in a lower status. And so she found herself without family, single, and without a home. And when we found her, she was living in kind of a thatched hut, just one-room hut. And when we went by to deliver the sewing machine, I happened to be in country at the time, and so I went with our staff that was there, and she invited us in and insisted that she feed us, and so we sat down on the floor and ate, and she was just overcome with gratitude for the help that we'd given. Interestingly enough, she also had lost her eyeglasses in the tsunami, and as we visited with her, and she had her sewing machine there and showed us how, we got some pictures of her sewing, you could see that she is really squinting, and we realized that she didn't see very well, and it's hard to be a good seamstress if you can't see what you're sewing. And so we subsequently provided eyeglasses for her. Now that's a very small project, but a very personal one.
Money to help the tsunami victims began pouring into church headquarters after a letter from church leaders was read during worship services. The letter encouraged members to donate to the humanitarian fund as part of their monthly contributions to the poor.
The concept of sacred funds resonated well, it resonated well with all of these partner organizations, but especially with the people in Indonesia, because the people of Islam have some religious tenets that we understood well in comparison to tenets that we have in our church, such as fasting. Muslims fast for a month once a year. We fast once a month. So when we talked about these funds came from members of our church through a fast, they understood that. So we said these are sacred funds that we need to be really faithful stewards over. And as the implementing organization, we ask that you do everything to regard them as that way as well. And I think that there was an extraordinary effort to do that.
The funds are not only used to help victims of natural disasters. Church Humanitarian Services funds five major initiatives, which are neonatal resuscitation training, water projects, wheelchair distribution, vision treatment training, and family food production. Reynolds says there's only one reason why the church does what it does.
The reason that we do humanitarian work isn't to further the proselyting efforts of the church. We do humanitarian work to provide the relief and do the good that needs to be done. It stands on its own.
For many years, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has directed and partnered with a number of world relief organizations. In the last 20 years, the church has facilitated the donation of cash, materials, and volunteer assistance totaling in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
This concludes today's podcast. We hope you'll join us in the future for more stories and commentary from newsroom.lds.org. Please send your comments about this podcast to newsroom@ldschurch.org. Copyright 2008, Intellectual Reserve Incorporated, all rights reserved.